Welcome, everyone, to our Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day, and I feel moved to do an Easter reading tonight. So let's just begin by coming together, joining together in silence, turning within, and connecting with our sense of willingness. Our sense of willingness to see differently, and our sense of willingness to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So taking a nice, mindful breath in and out, coming together to our perception of this time and place. So we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. We're going to do an Easter reading, and we're going to start off in the Manual for Teachers. So whatever version of the book you have, we're going to the section, What is Death? In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition and the original edition, it's number 27 in the manual. So again, this is all the way in the back of the book, number 27, What is Death? And if you have the Sparkle edition, it is page 67. In the manual in the back of the book. And just to do things a bit differently, since I would love to get through a couple of sections tonight that pertain to Easter, rather than stop after the end of each paragraph, I'm just going to read the whole section because it's pretty digestible, I think, and so we'll talk about it after we get to the end. I just want to say a few words before I start reading, and Easter is really very special to me and is really has become one of probably my most favorite holiday in my own journey in overcoming anxiety. The real meaning of Easter and the Course's teachings about the resurrection have helped me immensely. And we're going to start off with a section here, What is Death? And I do just want to kind of give a heads up because we've talked on the call before about how sometimes the Course sounds a little bit like a downer, a little gruesome. It talks about worms and, you know, death and decay and that sort of thing. And we're going to hear a little bit of that in this section with What is Death? But keep in mind, we're moving on to What is the Resurrection? Because we've got this whole thing of death all wrong. So let's go ahead and dive in. So again, we're in the section, What is Death? And just one final reminder, too, if you have any background noise at any point in time, you can mute your line by pressing *6, and you can unmute *6 as well. All right, here we go. What is death? Death is the central dream from which all illusions stem. Is it not madness to think of life as being born, aging, losing vitality, and dying in the end? We have asked this question before, but now we need to consider it still more carefully. It is the one fixed, unchangeable belief of the world that all things in it are born only to die. This is regarded as the way of nature, not to be raised to question, but to be accepted as the natural law of life. The cyclical, the changing and unsure, the undependable and the unsteady, waxing and waning in a certain way upon a certain path, all this is taken as the will of God. And no one asks if a benign creator could will this. In this perception of the universe as God created it, it would not be possible to think of him as loving. For who has decreed that all things pass away, ending in dust and disappointment and despair, can but be feared? He holds your little life in his hand but by a thread, ready to break it off without regret or care, perhaps today. Or if he waits, yet is the ending certain. Who loves such a God knows not of love, because he has denied that life is real. Death has become life's symbol. His world is now a battleground where contradiction reigns and opposites make endless war. Where there is death is peace impossible. Death is the symbol of the fear of God. His love is blotted out in the idea, which holds it from awareness like a shield held to obscure the sun. The grimness of the symbol is enough to show it cannot coexist with God. It holds an image of the Son of God in which he is laid to rest in devastation's arms, where worms wait to greet him to last a little while by his destruction. Yet the worms as well are doomed to be destroyed as certainly. And so do all things live because of death. Devouring is nature's law of life. God is insane, and fear alone is real. The curious belief that there is part of dying things that may go on apart from what will die does not proclaim a loving God, nor reestablish any grounds for trust. If death is real for anything, there is no life. Death denies life, but if there is reality in life, death is denied. No compromise in this is possible. There is either a God of fear or one of love. The world attempts 1,000 compromises and will attempt 1,000 more. Not one can be acceptable to God's teachers because not one could be acceptable to God. He did not make death because he did not make fear. Both are equally meaningless to him. The reality of death is firmly rooted in the belief that God's Son is a body. And if God created bodies, death would indeed be real. But God would not be loving. There is no point at which the contrast between the perception of the real world and that of the world of illusions becomes more sharply evident. Death is indeed the death of God if he is love. And now his own creation must stand in fear of him. He is not father, but destroyer. He is not creator, but avenger. Terrible his thoughts and fearful his image. To look on his creations is to die. And the last to be overcome will be death. Of course, without the idea of death, there is no world. All dreams will end with this one. This is salvation's final goal, the end of all illusions. And in death are all illusions born. What can be born of death and still have life? But what is born of God and still can die? The inconsistencies, the compromises, and the rituals the world fosters in its vain attempts to cling to death and yet to think love real are mindless magic, ineffectual, and meaningless. God is, and in him all created things must be eternal. Do you not see that otherwise he has an opposite and fear would be as real as love? Teacher of God, your one assignment could be stated thus. Accept no compromise in which death plays a part. Do not believe in cruelty, nor let attack conceal the truth from you. What seems to die has been misperceived and carried to illusion. Now it becomes your task to let the illusion be carried to the truth. Be steadfast but in this. Be not deceived by the reality of any changing form. Truth neither moves nor wavers nor sinks down to death and dissolution. And what is the end of death? Nothing but this, the realization that the Son of God is guiltless now and forever. Nothing but this. But do not let yourself forget, it is not less than this. Okay, so we'll pause there. So, I'm not sure, well, I'm not even going to analyze. I'm not sure, it's sort of obvious, I guess, that the reason that this came up so strong for me to read tonight in light of Easter, because Friday was Good Friday, which was supposedly, or which was the day that Jesus was crucified, today being the day of the resurrection. And the teaching of the world is that Jesus died for our sins. The teaching of the Course is that Jesus chose to partake in this extreme example to show us that we cannot sin, that the body is nothing, and that it cannot destroy life, it cannot destroy love. And so I know for me, I never questioned death. I just always thought, like, okay, you know, death is just how you leave this world. It's just, you know, this idea about all things that die. And it wasn't until I found Nook Santez and her teaching where she talked about, you know, the ego's central dream, which is what this section is saying, is our belief in death. It's that, as she puts it, that stopper in the bottom of the, you know, giant swimming pool that keeps all the water in the pool. The minute we pull that stopper out, which is our core belief in death, that allows us, that lets all other illusions be transformed. And so there's a huge piece here in being willing to look at our belief in death in all forms that it takes, because this isn't just a belief that shows up, you know, when we think about leaving the body. It's the belief in death is the belief that pain is real, you know, that suffering is real. It comes in many, many, many different forms. So what stands out to you? What came up for you as we were reading this section on what is death? Any insights or questions or comments?
Well, I'm thinking it's just the most obvious. We're stuck in a body, right?
Uh-huh.
And the most obvious is you wake up in the morning and you look and you see, and this is all you think there is. And we're
mm-hmm.
bombarded all day long, right? By mm-hmm. you got to have this, you got to have that if you want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing external that addresses what you just read.
Right, right. And that's because the fabric of this dream that we are in right now was something that we dreamed up, that we made to be like a like you said before, Brian, like a fog, what's the veil, is course terminology, a veil that we've drawn down in front of our eyes. So now, you know, we've chosen to see through the body's eyes, and now we're seeing this seeming, you know, picture out there that's actually coming off from our mind that is so convincing and so real, and we've chosen to listen to the one thing in the universe that doesn't know a thing, that's completely insane. I was reading a part in the course, and hopefully we won't actually get to this section, but it's the beginning of chapter 20, where it calls the ego a puff of madness. I just thought that was so funny, like a little, you know, like this little puff, this little fog that we have, you know, chosen to sort of turn to and believe fully in this, you know, this dream that we are seemingly in. So you're absolutely right. Everything that's external to us was made to keep us distracted from the truth of what we are. So that's where it becomes our task to be willing to take everything that we see to the Holy Spirit. And like it says here, where was the be steadfast, but in this, it was in the last paragraph, be not deceived by the reality of any changing form. So we're going to see things that seem to have reality and seem to have some changing form. People seem to leave their bodies. Things seem to happen. But it's saying don't be deceived. And we of ourselves alone, we can't not be deceived because we've made this very real. It's instead our task to take what we see to the Holy Spirit to be shown the truth instead. And so these blocks that we've built, slowly as we're ready to let them go, gently, we let those blocks go to have that love return to our awareness instead. And then
and
we start to see those witnesses for that truth showing up in our experience.
Right. Now, Meg is new on the call, and just so she knows, I'm the first one to admit of struggle with the ego. So you can boil it right down to the simplest form, love and hate, fear and love, that kind of thing, back and forth. And it, for me, it creates this need for things that I don't need. And I've learned that over the last weeks on the call. So if that means anything to you, Meg, when you hear us talk and you hear Corinne, there's a logic behind it that we all seek it. And I'm the first one to admit, just like I said, struggle with the ego, the internal negative voice. And you can call it the battle between fear and love, or whatever, but that to me is the simplest form. But that's what this reading is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Meg, I don't know if you have you been studying the course? I know this is your first call here, but have you been studying, right?
Well, actually, I am up to lesson because I'm on the lessons.
Awesome.
I'm up to lesson. What is that lesson I'm up to? Let me just look at my sheet because I do mark in my book.
So you have some working knowledge of the course.
I'm up to the review, and it's lesson 141.
Beautiful. So, at any point in time, for anybody who's either listening in or on the line, you know, if anything needs to be clarified or if what we are saying sounds like it makes no sense, please ask.
I just wanted to say something. The thing that really moved me the most, and you really hit on that, and I lost the page, was that very, very first line. The very first line, death is the central dream from which all illusions stem.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed the parallel you used of the plug, pulling all the water out and it going down the drain. I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, that's from, I mentioned her name. Her name's Nook Sanchez. She, that vision was sort of, it came to her, and I thought it was so helpful too, with really understanding that this is a central illusion that we have to look at. So we have to even be willing to, we have to be willing to question everything. As course students, that's what the course is asking us to do, is to question every single belief that we hold.
One other thing I did want to mention, with the gentleman, is your name Brian?
That was Brian, yes.
I do want to say it's very interesting, too, because right now my study has a lot to do with the ego, and it has, and I'm seeing the ego as the I thought, and this whole week I've been studying that, so it's very appropriate, Brian, that you would mention that.
Sure.
So thank you.
Sure.
Awesome.
That's my battle with the fog.
Corinne.
The very dense fog. Corinne, I heard
Sue and then I heard Paul.
Okay. This is Sue. The thing that I have found is you really have to make a decision of if you are going to be a course student or not, because you can get on other spiritual, there's some wonderful spiritual teachers out there. I'm thinking of Guy Finley. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not, actually.
Okay. He has a wonderful website, and he talks about, you know, the part of our mind that's divine and the man-made mind and all. But he talks a lot about look at nature and see, you know, how nature, you know, there's the birth and the rebirth and the death and the rebirth. And it makes it sound very, that's true. Just look, nature reveals to us, you know, that there's always rebirth. And I'm thinking, okay, that sounds very spiritual. That sounds very, like God, you know, always brings life back from death. Mm-hmm. And that sounds good, and I think it's been a spiritual light for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it's not what the Course is saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not. So, like it says at the beginning of this thing, he says, I think he says, really emphasize this is turning over every belief that you have.
Yes.
Because
every single one.
everything. You look out at nature and everybody's saying, oh, you know, isn't it great, spring's back and everything. And it really kind of scrambles your mind.
Yeah. And if you look,
how do I look
nature, nature's actually pretty vicious. Like, if you look, you know, watch nature shows or something on TV, I'm often struck by how vicious, you know, nature is. And so there you see again. It's not all peaceful.
No.
It is not all peaceful at all. And so, yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. There's many different paths, and I believe at my heart we're all going to the same place. But, yes, you're right. I feel like I've benefited from the course so much because I did only the course. And that was just what was right for me. But it was just – it's been my one filter rather than perhaps getting confused with adding others in as well. So.
Well, I had – before I found the course, I had a lot of the others. So it's more of my unlearning now that I have
to do. Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Sue. Paul, I think you are up next.
Yeah, I just had a question. We're probably ready to move to the next part, but I was curious about, you had said something earlier about either this part was meaningful to you or the next part regarding anxiety and how you, something about that with you, and I was just curious which part it was.
It's both. It's the resurrection, really.
Okay.
The meaning of Easter being not about the crucifixion at all, that if we're looking to that to find meaning, we're just... there's no meaning there. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The course says that was not the point. The point is to look at the resurrection. So really it's the resurrection that helped me, but also with what we were just talking about having to even question death until I found Nook Sanchez and her specific example of that bathtub plug. I thought I was questioning death, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm not a body. That sounds great. But I wasn't questioning death, so it literally had to be a conscious, okay, you know, I am willing to look at this with you, Holy Spirit. So in that sense, I would say that this has also enormously helped me as well.
Got it,
so,
yeah. Yeah, because I've struggled with that too. I mean, a good chunk of my life, still do, and, you know, I always looked for different parts of the course, and I've noticed how, like, it's something that's like you're anticipating it. So... if you do look at it with spirit, it just, it shifts things a lot. I mean, that's what's helped me.
Yeah, it totally
even does. Posting that picture today I put on Facebook, it was funny because when I posted it, it was like the day was starting and I was anticipating it being hard because it was one day that my dad and I would put Easter eggs out for my nephew together.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of like already anticipating that this was going to be hard. And, you know, I put the picture up with... it, and there was joy in it and laughter and fun. And, you know, I went through the day and it wasn't what I expected at all. Like, and I realized how much the ego will use death and make us even anticipate things are going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't the same. I'm still human, but it was like, it was a kind of an aha moment for me.
That's huge. Oh, that's mm-hmm. that's huge. That's a beautiful teaching.
And then reading this section, like when you were reading it, it was just kind of putting a, you know, a period on the end of it. Like, yeah.
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 Paul shared a photo of three pugs dressed in Easter egg costumes. It was hilarious. Oh, it was really funny. Thank
you,
Paul.
If anyone wants to see it, they're welcome to find me on Facebook.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, okay. So let's dive into the next section. What is the resurrection? So very next section in the Manual for Teachers. Very simply, the resurrection is the overcoming or surmounting of death. It is a reawakening or a rebirth, a change of mind about the meaning of the world. It is the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the world's purpose, the acceptance of the atonement for oneself. It is the end of dreams of misery and the glad awareness of the Holy Spirit's final dream. It is the recognition of the gifts of God. It is the dream in which the body functions perfectly, having no function except communication. It is the lesson in which learning ends, for it is consummated and surpassed with this. It is the invitation to take his final step. Excuse me. It is the invitation to God to take his final step. It is the relinquishment of all other purposes, all other interests, all other wishes, and all other concerns. It is the single desire of the Son for the Father. Mm. The resurrection is the denial of death, being the assertion of life. Thus is all the thinking of the world reversed entirely. Life is now recognized as salvation, and pain and misery of any kind perceived as hell. Love is no longer feared, but gladly welcomed. Idols have disappeared, and the remembrance of God shines unimpeded across the world. Christ's face is seen in every living thing, and nothing is held in darkness apart from the light of forgiveness. There is no sorrow still upon the earth. The joy of heaven has come upon it. Here the curriculum ends. From here on, no directions are needed. Vision is wholly corrected and all mistakes undone. Attack is meaningless and peace has come. The goal of the curriculum has been achieved. Thoughts turn to heaven and away from hell. All longings are satisfied for what remains unanswered or incomplete. The last illusion spreads over the world, forgiving all things and replacing all attack. The whole reversal is accomplished. Nothing is left to contradict the word of God. There is no opposition to the truth, and now the truth can come at last. How quickly will it come as it is asked to enter and envelop such a world? All living hearts are tranquil with a stir of deep anticipation, for the time of everlasting things is now at hand. There is no death. The Son of God is free, and in his freedom is the end of fear. No hidden places now remain on earth to shelter sick illusions, dreams of fear, and misperceptions of the universe. All things are seen in light, and in the light their purpose is transformed and understood. And we, God's children, rise up from the dust and look upon our perfect sinlessness. The song of heaven sounds around the world as it is lifted up and brought to truth. Now there are no distinctions. Differences have disappeared, and love looks on itself. What further sight is needed? What remains that vision could accomplish? We have seen the face of Christ, his sinlessness, his love behind all forms, beyond all purposes. Holy are we because his holiness has set us free indeed, and we accept his holiness as ours, as it is. As God created us, so will we be forever and forever, and we wish for nothing but his will to be our own. Illusions of another will is lost, for unity of purpose has been found. These things await us all, but we are not prepared as yet to welcome them with joy. As long as any mind remains possessed of evil dreams, the thought of hell is real. God's teachers have the goal of awakening the minds of those asleep and seeing there the vision of Christ's face to take the place of what they dreamed. The thought of murder is replaced with blessing. Judgment is laid by and given him whose function judgment is. And in his final judgment is restored the truth about the Holy Son of God. He is redeemed, for he has heard God's word and understood its meaning. He is free because he let God's voice proclaim the truth. And all he sought before to crucify are resurrected with him, by his side, as he prepares with them to meet his God. And I'll pause there. I feel like this whole section can be summed up by a sentence we just read. There is no death. The Son of God is free. And this is what we're afraid of. This is the crazy thing, is that we're afraid of love. We're afraid of knowing who we really are. We're afraid of God because we're afraid we're going to lose something. We're afraid that, we're afraid of that. And so that's the crazy distorted thing, is that beneath all the ego's insane everything is the love of God that we're hiding from. So, It's crazy,
you're afraid, I think, that you're going to lose, and I've come to this realization, Corinne, you're afraid that you're going to disappear.
Right, right. Yes,
you know, that talks about, And you don't. You just become bigger.
Yep. I thank you for saying that. That fear of annihilation or just being, totally nothing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
And when you finally realize, no, it's not that. It's just my fears, my concepts, my opinions, that's what disappears.
Right.
And you're left with just pure perception and vision. And that's what you gain. You don't lose anything.
Right. You're absolutely right. We don't lose a thing. That's what we gain. That's restored to us because that's what we already are. That's already there. And so it's
for a long time, I was afraid. I was very, very afraid that I was going somewhere that I was going to be swallowed up. Yeah.
I completely relate to that. For a long time, I was afraid of being whisked away. I was afraid if I aced the course and did the course, did what it's asking, that poof, I was just going to be gone. And it was only through doing the course and starting to realize how gentle of a process this is that anything that falls away when we're ready to let it go, when we see that it has no use to us anymore and we're totally willing to exchange it for the miracle instead. And when we have these moments of just recognition that God's love is in us, that's who we are. I know this has just been coming up a lot for me lately. Why in the world did I ever defend against this? Why in the world? It feels so good.
And when
so
you realize
good.
You don't do anything, you can't do it. You cannot. Okay. And that's what I did for a long time. I've got to understand this. I've got to figure it out. No, it's just sitting there and saying, I'm willing to look at this and let it go. It's done for you.
That's so funny with what you're saying, because I was just writing a blog post that I'll probably not post this week but next week about how I've been asked a lot recently, how do I know if I'm making a decision with ego in it or if I'm making a decision because the Holy Spirit is telling me? And my answer is you don't have to figure it out. All you have to do is do what feels right and take it to the Holy Spirit, because if you're willing to keep taking it to the Holy Spirit, any ego that's there is going to fall away when you're ready to let it go. So I'm so
glad. I had an experience this weekend with friends who really are not into any of this, and just really observing what was going on and really not judging any of it and letting them be free to have their opinion of what they think what is, and really just enjoying their company. It really is about letting go of judgment, and just being there and just being happy.
I love that you just said that, Paula, and that's one of the things that I wanted to highlight. The last paragraph that we just read, judgment is laid by and given him whose function judgment is.
Not really caring what they think.
And it's too judgment. It's not just of people, it's of everything.
Everything, yes.
Yeah, it's like amazing when I really observe myself. I judge, I look out at my yard and think, oh my gosh, the tool, I got to get that big, cleaning it. Everything is just judged and not looked in totality. It's just looked as little segments that need my attention and my attack almost.
But something? That's so interesting, because I did a lot of yard work this weekend, and it becomes so effortless. You see it, you want it to be done, but it doesn't really even matter. It's just getting out there and just getting into it and just doing it and just enjoying it. And then you have the strength and you have the energy to accomplish whatever it is, but there's no fear going into it, am I going to be able to do that? Am I going to have enough time? It's just kind of letting it all go and just doing it.
Yeah, that effortlessness.
I'd like to share this. I know what's been happening for me is I'm in the position where I can practice once a week being silent,
uh-huh.
and one day a week I practice being silent, not
awesome.
Speaking. And how that and has developed me is the chatter in my mind is less and less.
Awesome.
And then when there is no chatter in your head, you just look and you just see. And there is no comment.
I love that. There is no comment. I love that. Awesome. Thank you, Meg, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I just wanted
Beautiful.
To say thank you,
oh,
Corinne, for what you said about making a decision earlier, because that was super helpful for me, because I've noticed when I make a decision that sometimes, even if it feels really good, that will be like the Taz's cue to jump in there and start, like, you know, trying to put doubt in there.
And Taz, for those of you who might be listening in for the first time or joining us for the first time, is Deidre's another word for the ego, the Tasmanian devil. I love it.
Yeah. So I thought that was really, really helpful. And I just wanted to say, like, with the paragraphs that we just read, it just strikes me that the Course, when it's talking about the resurrection, it's talking about right now. It's not some pie in the sky, like,
yes.
thing that happens later on when you transition
yeah.
and you leave the body. It's talking about heaven exists right now, like heaven in terms of the existence of love and the way that we experience love, because everything can either be used as a witness for death or a witness for love. And so I just wanted to share that.
Oh, Deidre, thank you. I think that was a much, much, much needed addition to realize that this is talking about right now, not later.
And one thing I want to say, too, is, you know, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes you get sort of like, well, a Course student, we've got kind of, you know, you got a little corner on the Holy Spirit, maybe a little bit, you know. and I continue to go to our church, Presbyterian Church. And, you know, they have the traditional Presbyterian. But I was listening to the minister today, of course, and I'm thinking, okay, Susan, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak through everybody, Course student or not.
Uh-huh.
And he said about the resurrection, he said, when you're going to your job today, are you deciding to have a good day? He says, you've just entered the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
When you love your child today and you give them whatever, he says, you've just entered and I thought, wow, that is like, you know, incredible that came through. And I thought, that is exactly what you said, Deidre. It's today you accept
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes the Course so incredibly practical. It is the practical application. It's simple.
Right.
I just wanted to share something, too, because recently my mom shared with me a YouTube video of a Baptist church ceremony. And prior to my exposure to A Course in Miracles, I had gone to like a lot of different churches, you know, seeking and looking. And, you know, I always knew that there was something, but I was never quite comfortable. And a lot of the, you know, ritualism and things like that always made me feel really uncomfortable. And I observed myself this weekend watching this YouTube video with a lot of, you know, traditional church language, and none of my prior judgments were there. They were like gone. It was like, you know, I heard the minister talking about Satan and all these things that really used to scare me. And all I heard and all I saw was the through line that the Course has given me. Like, yeah, okay, so someone is using the word Satan. You can just substitute that for ego, and it's the same thing. I really didn't see any separation whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
And it was, like, the coolest thing because, like...
That's awesome.
Because I used to have so much fear around, you know, just even the words.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was gone.
Wow.
So.
Oh, I love that.
But that's what happens over
yeah.
time when you keep working with this material, because what would totally throw you off just seems like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At yeah, again, I think being centered is so important.
Yeah, because I think the same thing can happen, like, as Course students, we can get really, like, Course in Miracles is it, you know, like,
right.
and
absolutely.
That's also a judgment, you know. God
absolutely.
Uses everything,
everything.
To communicate with whatever soul, you know, so nothing's right or wrong. It's all a path. It's all, and we're all going to the same place. So.
And God is in everything.
Exactly.
That's very comforting to me.
Isn't it?
Because even in some really uncomfortable situations, you know, that realization that there's nothing to worry about here.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, wow. Such
God
great.
Is.
Who's that?
It's Carla. Hey, family. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Hey. I love those stories. And I just came in. I was with my mom today. Is there an echo or anything? Because you're on my car speaker.
Yeah, I could hear it.
It is a little echoey, actually. I do hear myself a little bit. So.
Okay, how's that?
Okay, I think that's better, actually. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
I went to church on Friday to see a friend speak because it's Holy Week, so he invited me. He's a pastor, so I said, all right then. So there were seven pastors, and he was number seven, so six of them. They spoke in terms of the language that I grew up hearing, the wages of sin or death. In order for you to get into heaven, if you don't forgive your brother, God won't forgive you. Whatever you hold against your brother will be held against you. The salvation that you need, you know, it's like you have to get right with the Lord in order for the Lord to look upon you with the eyes of love. And I was sitting there and I was saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? What is the truth? And immediately, the program that they gave me, I started writing course material, course quotes, course lessons on it as they were speaking. Like if I heard them say, the wages of sin or death, I would write immediately, there is no sin. There is no, or Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I'm like, there is no sacrifice. There is no death. So I kept writing course lessons, and I had a notebook in my purse that I always carry with course material on it. And every time they would say something, I would just rewrite it through the eyes of the course. And so by the time my friend did get up to speak, the message that he gave was nothing. It was all love. In fact, it was about when Jesus said he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens, he'll come in and sup with you. He said Jesus is standing there with a coup de grace, and he said for all, Jesus is standing there with a cup of grace and mercy. And that is what you get. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's why I was. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So, yeah, amen. You know, so everything else that I heard ahead of him, it didn't really stick in my mind too much. There was some bits and pieces that were, like the truth can come through anyone. And so there were some things that I could relate to that I wrote down as well that some of the pastors said. But the majority of it, when they get to talking about the wages of sin or death and Jesus died on the cross and all that, it's like they sound like the Charlie Brown teacher to me. So I just started thinking, you know, poor and I just wanted to share that, you know, because I wanted to support my friend. So I sat and I just took away whatever was for me and left the rest. So it's like I chewed the meat and spit out the bones. And I remember we were all there for one reason. We all loved the Lord, you know, but some of us, I just didn't believe in the punishing God that they did. And they were entitled, and I left it alone. So blessings to you all. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Carla, for sharing. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome. I'm actually feeling, let's read one more section, and this is only about a page, so it's not as long as what we just read. It's at the very beginning of chapter 20, no matter what book you have. So in the Sparkle edition, it's on page 478, very, very, very beginning of chapter 20. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 425. So if you want to flip over to those pages, the original edition, I think, I don't know if anybody has the print copy of this book on the call, but it's page 402 in the original edition. So again, very beginning of chapter 20 in the text. It's called various things, depending on which edition I'm looking at. Foundation for Inner Peace, it's called Chapter 20, The Vision of Holiness, Holy Week. And then in the other editions, it's The Promise of the Resurrection. So it looks like it's only about four paragraphs, so I'm just going to go ahead and read this. This is Palm Sunday, the celebration of victory and the acceptance of the truth. Let us not spend this holy week brooding on the crucifixion of God's Son, but happily in the celebration of his release. For Easter is the sign of peace, not pain. A slain Christ has no meaning, but a risen Christ becomes the symbol of the Son of God's forgiveness on himself, the sign he looks upon himself as healed and whole. Holy Week. This week begins with palms and ends with lilies. The white and holy sign, the Son of God, is innocent. Let no dark sign of crucifixion intervene between the journey and its purpose, between the acceptance of the truth and its expression. This week we celebrate life, not death. And we honor the perfect purity of the Son of God and not his sins. Offer each other the gift of lilies, not the crown of thorns, the gift of love and not the gift of fear. You stand beside each other, thorns in one hand and lilies in the other, uncertain which to give. Join now with me and throw away the thorns, offering the lilies to replace them. This Easter, I would have the gift of your forgiveness offered by you to me and returned by me to you. We cannot be united in crucifixion and in death. Nor can the resurrection be complete till your forgiveness rests on Christ along with mine. A week is short, and yet this Holy Week is the symbol of the whole journey the Son of God has undertaken. He started with the sign of victory, the promise of the resurrection, already given him. Let him not wander into the temptation of crucifixion and delay him there. Help him to go in peace beyond it, with the light of his own innocence lighting his way to his redemption and release. Hold him not back with thorns and nails when his redemption is so near. But let the whiteness of your shining gift of lilies speed him on his way to resurrection. If you see glimpses of the face of Christ behind the veil, looking between the snow-white petals of the lilies you have received and given as your gift, you will behold each other's face and recognize it. I was a stranger and you took me in, not knowing who I was. Yet for your gift of lilies, you will know. In your forgiveness of this stranger, alien to you and yet your ancient friend, lie his release and your redemption with him. The time of Easter is a time of joy and not of mourning. Look on your risen friend and celebrate his holiness along with me. For Easter is the time of your salvation along with mine. And I'll pause there. If you feel moved to keep reading after the call, you might want to check out the next section as well, because it has a couple more references to Easter in there. So I just want to say that to put this beautiful section into terminology that we've been talking about pretty much every week, that, again, all it's asking us to do is to take everything to the Holy Spirit. That, you know, we have, I love this sentence where it says you have thorns in one hand and lilies in the other, and we're like standing there like, which one do I want to give my brother? And we give the lilies by turning to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit extend those lilies, that forgiveness through us. So our job in this is really, really easy and really simple. We just have to make that choice. That's what we want. That's what we want to do.
We really can't do it by ourselves.
No, we can't.
We absolutely can't.
No.
And that, well, I tell you, I see it, it's more and more at work. You know, on my own, I'm lost. But when I turn to the Holy Spirit, everything shifts and changes right before my eyes. It's such a blessing.
It is. It really is. Oh, comments, questions. Anybody have anything come up in this section? Any insights or examples?
I recently went to see Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it just ended with the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And this line here, a slain Christ has no meaning,
mm-hmm.
but a risen Christ becomes a symbol of the Son of God's forgiveness on himself, a sign he looks upon himself as healed and whole. And I walked out of there just feeling like... you know, it was just meaningless
mm-hmm.
when it ends at the crucifixion.
Right.
The resurrection
right, yeah.
is his message.
Yep, yep. And the Course is very clear about that, too, about not looking to the crucifixion, that the whole point was the resurrection. That's why I'll never be able to watch any, like The Passion of the Christ or any of movies like that. I just... Yeah. No.
Yeah, but that's the world stops there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
because what is that saying? What that's affirming, you know, death is real, that we're guilty.
Absolutely.
Sacrifice. It's affirming everything that the Course is teaching us is not.
The
true,
world
so.
Stops there, and that's
mm-hmm.
the problem with the world.
Yeah.
And it was such a relief to me to realize, who cares?
Uh-huh.
I'm out of here. That's how I felt when I left that theater. I could have cared less about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the truth is,
mm-hmm.
and it is so uplifting.
It is. It is. And we're all joined in this together right now.
Yes. Yes.
How awesome is that?
That's the whole difference of it, you know. Our church always emphasized, you know, without the resurrection, the crucifixion meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the resurrection was highlighted as the purpose for Christ coming, but it was always his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
His resurrection saved, you know. So that's the whole difference that this is saying, is that we also are resurrected, not,
mm-hmm.
like you said, Deidre, not in the future, you know, not in some, you know, other realm or time or whatever, but you accept it more and more each day. No, right now.
Yeah, and also we are the Christ.
Right.
Yep.
I do want to say one thing, though, that dealing with death, I thought it was very appropriate that actually death is, even the crucifixion, would have to be an illusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I read a book once, and then I won't say anything more, called Putting on the Mind of Christ, and it was written by a priest. But anyway,
his premise, and it's a very interesting book, is that what Jesus did in the physical, or what we call the physical, every one of us has to do psychologically. We have to go through our own death, psychological death, take on the new, and become the Christ. And that I read that years and years ago, and it didn't make a lick of sense to me at the time.
But what is that saying? Just with letting go of the ego, because we think, I think I'm Corinne. We think, you know, we think
That's
we're these
right.
individual identities. And what you're saying, you know, to use that example, the death is, all that is the recognition of like, oh, wait, that's not me. I can let that go and rise into what I already am. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's
and in
cool.
this world, we need it for functioning. You know, you have to have a label. You have to have some sort of a role you play, mm-hmm. as long as you realize it's a role.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it said too. We read this earlier, that the role of, you know, God's teachers is to waken our brothers. But we do that again, that I think, you know, we might be called to do that externally, but the work is always within. So the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for himself. The biggest thing that I can do to help heal others is to allow these beliefs, these false beliefs, to be undone in my mind, for love's awareness to be restored in my mind, because that is doing more for others than we could possibly imagine. So,
because what affects one affects the whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. Perfect. Oh, wow. we're at the top of the hour. Does anybody have anything really quick that they want to share or say before we wrap up the call tonight?
Yeah, I do. Who's going to the conference?
Me.
I'll be at the conference.
I'll be at the conference.
I think Paula and Carol will both be at the conference.
All right, because I want to make a
Are
point to make sure that I meet you.
Yeah.
Are you
going to
be there,
so,
Paula?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
We'll all find mm-hmm. each other. We're talking about the Course in Miracles Conference in New York City this month. Is it in 2 weeks, I think?
Mm-hmm.
April 17th, 18th, and 19th. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was it.
Awesome. Oh, well, I hope we will all carry these Easter messages with us in our hearts and have a miracle-filled week. Thank you, everyone, so much for being here. And
we'll resume
with where we left off last week, next week. So have a beautiful week, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, family.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Deidre.
Bye.
Good talk.